This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. The website has this program on it. You can re-listen to it there. And the weekly email meditation that I mail out every Monday morning is also there. If you'd like to be on that subscription list, you might want to contact me and give me your email address. So I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now today, we're going to look at Luke chapter 13 and verse 18, and we are moving into a very important time of the year. Next Friday, if I'm looking at my calendar right, will be what's called Good Friday, and next Sunday will be what the world calls Easter. And whenever I think of Good Friday and Easter, I think of a verse that's found in the Psalms where it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." We know that Good Friday was anything but good as far as the Lord was concerned. He was crucified on Friday. But we do know that joy came in the morning when the Lord was raised from the dead on that Lord's Day following his crucifixion. And we're so glad that we can celebrate the resurrected Lord as we go into this particular part of the season. This is a day on the calendar. We know about when it did happen because it was associated with the Jewish Passover. And we do know that there were witnesses to the resurrection. This is what gives the Christians something to look forward to. This gives us hope. We don't hope to be saved, but because we're saved, we have hope. Because we know that if the Lord was raised from the dead as the first fruits of the resurrection, then those of us who die in Christ, if the Lord has not already come for the church, will also be raised when he returns. Now, when we think of this, many people go to church on Easter, some on Good Friday, some on Christmas. And I think as we look at the passage for today, we have to ask ourselves whether we are really prepared for the future after we die, or whether we're just going along for the ride, because it makes it clear in these passages, it seems to me, that there's an awfully lot of people who are part of the kingdom of God, or who think they are part of the kingdom of God, who are part of a machine, but have no personal relationship with the Lord. And we can call ourselves Christians, and we can go to church on Good Friday or on Easter or on the Christmas holidays. We can do that. But the real question is, have we really come to understand why the Lord died? Have we ever turned away from our own arguments and thinking and way of salvation, telling God how to do his work? Have we ever repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And so keep that in mind as we read these passages. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 18, it says, "Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate," that's the narrow gate, "for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, There are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last, and we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of His Word. So as we go into Good Friday and Easter, we don't want to be Christians in name only. People that are believing anyone and anything and that think that by going to church and doing good they will be saved are simply not prepared for eternity. They're simply not prepared for the day when they will meet God on the other side of death. As we look at this particular passage, there's differences of interpretation, but first of all, we see the kingdom of God, and I think the kingdom of God is used here in the sense of all those people who have trusted in the Lord. The kingdom was going to be a physical kingdom until the Lord was rejected, and it has become a spiritual kingdom, but one day it will become a physical kingdom. But the kingdom of God here has to do with the people who are going to preach the gospel after the Holy Spirit descends in Acts chapter 2. And it starts small. It's like a grain of mustard seed. It starts small, and then it grows into a great tree, and the falls of the air lodge in the branches of it. Now, when we look at the falls of the air, there's differences of opinion as to what that means, but most people believe that it's saying that this thing that starts right and starts so small and so humble becomes a great big thing that has a lot of evil lodging in its branches, and these birds are usually considered to be representations of those that are evil. And I'm going back and thinking about how in Acts 20, the Lord told the Ephesian church that after Paul's departing, there would be wolves from without, and there would be false teachers from within who would come and who would try to destroy them. And so we know that many people join up when it comes to spiritual things, but they never really repent and believe. And this thing called Christianity, I call it Christendom, is a big thing. But all of Christendom is not of God. And it has birds that have lodged in the branches of it. And so there's a big machinery here, much of which is not even associated with the principles that the Lord himself preached or practiced. And then he says, again, it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And here we have leaven, which in the Bible speaks of something that puffs us up. It's usually pride that's associated with leaven, and it's never a good thing. In the Bible, leaven never seems to be a good thing. It seems like it's always has to be put out of their houses when they are celebrating, for example, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and many of their feast days, the Israelites put it out of their houses. It represented evil, but particularly evil doctrine that is associated with pride. And so there is no place for pride in the church, and there's many people who think they know better than the Bible today, and they're publishing articles, and they're preaching the prosperity gospel and all of these things, but what they have brought in has been evil doctrine, and many people are denying the reality of eternal conscious punishment, and many are saying that ultimately everyone will be saved, and so these are evil things that are associated with this thing called Christendom, which I think is represented by that mustard seed in the plant that grows, this thing called Christendom today. And so because there is this possibility of destroying the church because we don't stay pure to the doctrine that Christ left us, because that's possible, the question is asked, are there few that be saved? And we should ask that today. Are there few that be saved? And it's being asked in view of the fact that the church is, in a sense, being corrupted by evil people and evil doctrine. And we hate to say that. We'd like to believe that everybody that's listening to my voice has a pastor or a church where the truth is preached and where people are trying to maintain a good testimony for the Lord and where they are preaching that Christ died for the ungodly, that when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That we would like to believe that they are trying to proclaim the fact that the gospel has to do with what Christ has done for us and not with what we are doing for Christ. But as we come down to this section, we can see that not everyone is preaching that truth. Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in. And the answer is, you make sure that you're saved, because there are some who are corrupting the gospel. And so who are those that are thrust out on the outside in this passage? It's those who have eaten and drunk in his presence and has taught in their streets. And he'll say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now, these works wouldn't normally be considered sinful works, but they're sinful works when we do these things thinking then that God will receive us into heaven because we have carried out certain ceremonies or certain good works. And it's a religious way of trying to serve the Lord instead of the humble way of recognizing that we can do nothing to merit salvation. We can do nothing because salvation is all of grace. It's something that is given to us. And instead of these people saying, we have trusted the Lord and the Lord died for us, they're telling the Lord about all the good things they've done. And they are good things, but they're done for the wrong reason. And he says, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. People who have done things that we would call good are said to be doing things that the God calls sin. And again, it has to do, I believe, with the heart and with the motive. Are we people that believe that Christ died for us, or are we people that believe that God owes us a place in heaven because of what we are doing for him? And so then as we go down through the passage, it's clear that there are people who are going to be surprised when they are shut out of the kingdom of God. And they're going to, when they are shut out, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we don't usually like to talk about that weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't like to talk about the sorrow that's associated with rejecting Christ, the sorrow that will be eternal because we have rejected Christ and have ended up being cast away from his presence. And the Bible talks about a place of eternal conscious punishment. And because we don't like to talk about that, we don't like to talk about the weeping and gnashing of teeth, which these people could have been spared from if they had really believed in the Lord Jesus. But remember, we're going to see the Lord crucified by people that he's talking to in these passages. And so as we look at the passage, he's really talking to religious Jews to a great extent, and that's why he says, behold, there are last which shall be first. And that just simply means that there's going to be people that the Jews would have rejected, and that's Gentiles, and they're going to be first. And there are first which shall be last. Many of the Jews who think that they should be privileged to enter into the kingdom, they're going to be last, and they're going to miss out on the blessing of God's salvation. So again, I say, as we go into Good Friday and Easter, don't be Christians in name only. Make sure that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Weeping may endure for the night. We may have the crucifixion before us, but the resurrection is also true. Christ has been raised from the dead, and we can trust in the truth that Christ did, in fact, satisfy God when he died for our sins. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We commit thy word to thee and just pray for our audience as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.